This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and there's so much to get to tonight. One, I'm worried I might be drunk. Two, now hold on, I'll explain in a second, Chris. Two, I have an expert technique I'm going to share with you. Three, great Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We'll make fun of Joe Biden. Are we too far gone? Is there going to be shooting in this country? That would really suck. All that and so much more. First of all, on the drunk thing, I say it this way. This is what I'm talking about. So, you know, I drink my coffee black, right? Black, like John Wayne intended. Forever, I had cream and sugar in my coffee. And then me and a buddy, when I was selling RVs, we decided this is really feminine. We were in the kitchen at the RV lot pouring it was French vanilla creamer in the coffee. And we said, look at us. This is pathetic. This is not what men do. Took a week, boom, black coffee only. Now, I only get any kind of flavored coffee in the rare case that I go to some kind of coffee shop. We don't do Starbucks, but any one of these coffee shops that pop up. I tried a new one today. And I decided on a whim right before the show, I want a cup of coffee. I pull in. They offer an Irish cream coffee. I ordered it without thinking. Is there alcohol in here? It might be a wild, wild night here on the Jesse Kelly Show. What, Chris? There could be. What if there is? Of course. This is going to be crazy. What if I start slurring my words? I'll be sounding like Joe Biden here before you know it. Look, you can almost taste
it. It's hard to communicate just how deeply invested your success, in your success, the people across the United States are. And those of you who have been there know it. You know it. I'm not making this up. This is real. It's almost people can taste it.
You can taste it. Well, I can taste the alcohol. I'm kidding. I don't think there is any. But what if there is? Who knows what's going to happen tonight? All right, quit. Before we get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions and this new rat czar we have to talk about here briefly and everything else, we do want to pay homage to the fallen. We try to do that as often as we can on this show. So this is a little heavy. I know for a Friday it's a little heavy. It's a way to lead the show. But Pablo Escobar, back in the day, he had a fascination with exotic animals. And since he had more money than he could spend, that's crazy to think about, right? But he had more money than he could spend. He would just buy everything he wanted whenever he wanted it. And he ended up with a zoo, for lack of a better way to put it. He ended up with a zoo, including hippos. He had hippos flown in to Colombia. And since then, Colombia hasn't been able to get a handle on the hippos, and the hippos are reproducing, as animals do. They're reproducing, and now Colombia has a hippo problem. Well, I'm just going to read the headline. It is what it is, all right? Pablo Escobar's cocaine hippo dies in Colombia after being hit by a car. No, in all seriousness, I want to know what kind of car we're dealing with here, because it said the guy who was driving the car received medical attention from first responders, but no hospitalization, no critical condition. So you hit a hippo hard enough to kill it, and you just needed a couple Band-Aids? Can we get ahead? Chris, would you do a little research maybe and find out what kind of car this is? Because I know what kind of car I'm buying for the wife next time we have to get one. All right, quit. Focus. Get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions, all right? Thought it'd be fun to lead with this one today. Because there's no huge news stories. What do we do? You want to talk about garbage some more? You want to talk about the people who lead the United States of America? You want to talk about the FBI infiltrating churches?
They were looking, the FBI in the Richmond field office was looking to put sources in churches, have informants in Catholic parishes. That's what they were looking to do. Someone needs to give them a lesson in the First Amendment. This memorandum that they put together that we now have, this memorandum talks about doing just that. And it was signed off on by two senior analysts and the chief division counsel there. How can a lawyer sign off on something like, and frankly, but for the whistleblower, I don't know that this wouldn't still be going on. And this thing was sent out to all the other field offices.
Yeah, they're already in your church or working on it. Anyway, all right, you know what? We're done with that. Dear escape room fail. That's not very nice. Okay. You know what? I'm going to do another escape room soon. And I'm going to, yeah, I am, Chris. And I'm going to dominate it this time. I can feel it. I can look, you can taste it. Quit. The best advice you've ever given me is to ask for an additional slice of cheese on my Big Mac. Game changer. My waistline thanks you. What is the best advice anyone has ever given you? His name's David. Man, that's tough. The best advice you've ever been given. I've been given a lot of really good advice, and I try to hoover up as much of that as I possibly can so I can one day have a functioning brain. Probably different walks of life are better to point out. One of the best pieces of you new shooters out there, and I'm not some shooting expert. There's a million people listening to the sound of my voice right now who are better than I am, all right? But I know a little bit about a little bit. I'll tell you, when you're starting to shoot, just starting out, one of the best bits of advice I ever got when it came to shooting was let the shot surprise you. And this is what I mean. When you're shooting, especially when you're just beginning, you have a tendency to jerk the trigger. You want to shoot, right? So you squeeze it hard. Well, what happens is you'll tense up your hands, you'll tense up every part of yourself, and even if it's just a tiny movement, you will move your weapon before the shot goes off, and the shot is less accurate. When you're aiming, if you focus on just squeezing just your finger, only the index finger, so steadily that the shot actually surprises you, your weapon won't move at all. Now, once you're an experienced shooter, you really don't want that when you start shooting and moving and things like that. But if you're just now starting out, that's a great piece of advice. I'll tell you another good piece of advice. This is a professional piece of advice I got from Michael Berry, my mentor. He's the only reason I'm doing radio to this day. You already know the story. I got to know Michael Berry when I was selling RVs. He told me that I should try for a media career. That was about 5 years ago, and it ended up working out. Anyway, he told me you need to not listen. Once you start doing radio and TV, you need to not listen or watch other shows. And I was a little confused by that because I was thinking, well, why wouldn't I want to pick up what are the top stories, or don't I want this kind of wisdom, or don't I want this or that? And he said, no, not even my show. You got to stop listening to anything. And he said, here's why. One, you will find yourself coming up, your mind will work better when you're coming up with your own thoughts, your own ideas. You listen to this show. It's probably not the only show you listen to. You listen to other stuff. Do I sound like other people? Do I say the things other people say? No. It's not because I'm special. It's because I don't listen to other people and then inadvertently copy them. So one, I will never accidentally or on purpose copy someone else's idea or technique or thought because I ain't listening. I don't know what they said. I don't have any idea. And two, you won't get as mad when you find other people copying you. And he said, this was very early on. He said, once your show gets big enough, other people will copy you. I actually got an email from somebody saying, hey, does it bother you that this guy, I'm not going to name the name, this guy that you know, you would all know, does it bother you that this guy rips you off? That you say things, and then the next day or the next night, this guy says it. Well, now it does. And here's what I mean. I didn't know because I don't watch. I don't listen. I didn't know. And that's why. Because that stuff, it normally would bother me. It should not. But normally it would bother me. But that's another reason you don't listen. I don't know. I'm blissfully unaware of what anyone else is saying out there. So that's some good advice, I always thought. Man, I'm smart, Chris. Like, what, Chris? It's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at
JesseKellyShow.com out here every single Friday.
Changing people's lives.
Dear part-time radio host, it's currently midnight and I'm in the hospital. I had a plan to listen to a couple of your podcasts while killing time in the delivery room today. I just found out you ditched work not once but twice this week. What am I supposed to do now? Pay attention to my wife? That's not right. By the way, this is my second baby in the last 18 months, third baby in 3 years. Tell the guys at Chalk I appreciate them turning me back into a sexual tyrannosaur. Okay. Why are you guys such meatheads? You're meatheads. It's a meathead audience, Chris. And I don't know where that comes from. I don't know what that is. What, Chris? Don't blame me. We're about to go off on this rat czar in New York City, and then we have to talk about Susan Rice for a moment. Because Susan Rice is the person who should be a household name on the right. She's somebody we don't talk about enough. We kind of ignore her existence. This is one of the most powerful people in the United States of America. You want to know one of the people who really pulls the levers of the system? Susan Rice has been pulling those levers for a long time, and she is a deeply sick and evil person. We'll play you a little Susan Rice here in a moment. Before we do that, let's do this really quickly. I am not promising you the same results as the gentleman who just wrote in about all the babies he's been having, but I will tell you, you will find yourself more energetic, feeling a bit better with a male vitality stack from Chalk. All natural herbal supplements. Ladies, female vitality stack for you. And maybe those things don't interest you. I tell you about those things because that's what I take. I have a subscription for a male vitality stack. I take it every single day. And gosh, the difference in how I feel now, it's a year later. It's just amazing. I really notice it in the afternoons when you normally used to crash. And I'm so wired up right now. But they have a lot of natural herbal supplements. And they're the highest quality. Go see what they have and get a subscription because the subscriptions are 35% off. And if you're worried about that, remember, you cancel at any time. If it doesn't do what I say, cancel it. They're cool about it. There, no big deal. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Get you 35% off. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, obfuscating our way through the Friday, Chris. I think I've pretty much mastered that word by now. Now that we've mastered that one, we're going to move on to other words like allegory and big stuff. Look, it's a pretty heady show here. It's Jesse Kelly Show. I'm still mad about this. I'm going to get to Susan Rice here in a second, but Eric Adams taps DOE employee. That's Department of Education, by the way. Eric Adams taps DOE employee Kathleen Karate. That's kind of a cool name, Karate, if that's how she pronounces it. Kathleen Karate is New York City's new rat czar. She said, you'll be seeing a lot more of me and a lot less rats. One, I think it's fewer rats, isn't it, Chris? But a lot fewer? That doesn't sound like that's English. You'll be seeing fewer rats. Chris, if you don't know, then you don't know, okay? It's just fewer. Yeah, we need Michael in today. Where is Michael? We need his college degree. All right, anyway, I would have been way better than her. She's going to come up with a bunch of stupid ideas. And she's making, remember, I think it's 160-some grand a year, something crazy like that. Granted, in New York City, that's basically below the poverty line, but that sucks. Chris, you got to believe me. Michael, we've been needing your college degree here. Golly. All right, Michael just walked in. All right, now focus. The man behind the man. We talk about this a lot. Like this question here. How is it everyone refers to Pudding Brain as if he was somehow in charge? He can barely complete an ice cream order. Isn't it really Susan Rice who's guiding this corrupt administration to what amounts to a third Obama term? Thoughts? Well, you're right. Joe Biden isn't in charge of anything. Joe Biden isn't making any calls, not calling any shots. Joe Biden is a pudding brain. He's not a fully functional adult anymore. He was never that sharp to begin with. And now that he's half as sharp as he was, that's really, really, really dull. Look, Biden and Fetterman, imagine these two having a spelling bee. So who is calling the shots? Susan Rice. Susan Rice was one of the main, I hate calling her a brain because it makes me sound like I'm complimenting her, but she was one of the main driving forces behind Barack Obama, a real, genuine American communist. I'm talking down the line, she is a Marxist-Leninist to the core. She was a driving force behind Barack Obama, and now she's a driving force behind Joe Biden. That's a really, really big problem, because you can argue, I get questions like this all the time, especially on Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I'll get back to those fun ones in a second, but I get questions like this all the time. Jesse, I don't understand. Do they all hate America? Do they not understand that they're destroying this and destroying that? A lot of these people don't hate America. They're just not mindful of America. They don't care about it at all. That's probably the most common case when you look at the people who work in our federal government. That's probably the most common. They just don't care about it. They care about their job or prestige or things like that. They don't think about the red, white, and blue like you do. The problem is the people in critical key positions do very much hate America. And the ones driving policy are trying to burn it all down. So when you have those people driving policy mixed with a bunch of people who don't care if it does burn down or not, they're just not that interested in that, well, you find yourself in quite a pickle. This is Susan Rice. Listen to this. This is the human being. This might be the most influential person in the United States of America over the last 20 years. This person right here.
In the last 20 years, the U.S. had a GDP shortfall of $16 trillion due to discrimination against Black Americans. If we closed our racial gaps, we could add another $5 trillion to GDP over just the next 5 years. And in case you're wondering, that's not my math. That's according to Citibank. We all benefit when every community has the chance to thrive.
If we close the racial gaps? What's she talking about there? What does that mean? The GDP? What? How does it? What? What's she talking about? What she's talking about is, well, the same thing communists always talk about. You all have been oppressed. And what we're going to do is we're going to go attack all those oppressors. That way, everything can be equal. It's the same message of Lenin. It's the same message of Mao. Same message of Pol Pot. You're all the victims. These people, they're all the people who've been victimizing you. Just continue to give me power and I'll hurt them. And then we'll be more equal. But the problem is, that person's not on some street corner with some homemade sign. That person's not a college professor at Berkeley, although there are many of those college professors at Berkeley. That human being is probably the most influential person in the United States of America driving policy today. Why is it? Why do you think it is that racial animus, that's a big word, Chris. I'm a world famous author. You can purchase the Anti-Communist Manifesto at jessekellybook.com. No, seriously, why is it that racial animus in this country has ramped up at such an alarming level since the election of Barack Obama? Why? Because these people are in charge, and that's the idea. All right. Let's get back. We need to get back to Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I'll tell you what, I am.
But my focus is just stay focused.
That's my focus, Chris. Now, Susan Rice, that's her plan for the GDP. So what's your plan for when these people destroy the dollar? What's your plan? Do you have a plan? Is it a gold plan? Chris, that's a good line. Anyway, get a hold of Oxford Gold Group. They will get gold and silver in your 401k and IRA. They will get physical gold and silver in your hands. And let me pause on that for a moment. I know you have 401k IRA, and that is very, very important. You worked hard for it. Don't let these people take away your retirement. It really is important for you to have some kind of physical gold and silver in your home. That way, no matter what happens, you will always be able to purchase goods and services when you have gold and silver in your home. And let's say that day never comes. It doesn't go stale. Your kids will have it. and their kids after them. What a great thing to pass down. Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. They'll take special care of you, I promise. 833-995-GOLD.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. I don't know why. I can't get the smile off my face today. It was probably that Irish cream coffee, Chris. What? Feeling loose over here.
That'd be funny if it was a coffee shop that actually... Are there coffee shops that actually do serve booze? That's wild. Anyway, I'm very excited about my technique before I get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I've mastered something. And you know, when the menu whisperer tells you that he's mastered something, he's mastered something. And for you new listeners, well, I explained this very clearly when I was on Timcast a couple nights ago.
Who are you? What do you do?
I am Jesse Kelly. I am, for one, I'm the menu whisperer. I'm the greatest orderer of food in the world. If you look at a restaurant menu, I just am a genius when it comes to ordering those. But I also have a show, nationally syndicated radio show, called The Jesse Kelly Show. I have a TV show called I'm Right. And now I'm a world famous author. I wrote my first book ever that doesn't come out till June, but I'm sure it'll be world famous, called The Anti-Communist Manifesto.
Jesse, I'm going to have to take you up on this menu claim. It's a bold statement. The best of the best.
Look, in God gives us all talent, right? You know, Mozart could play instruments or whatever he did. When I look at a menu, I know the best thing to order. And people think I'm joking when I say that. But when we go out to dinner, which I'm sure we will at some point in time, you won't order what I order because you don't trust me right now. But I will order something superior to yours, and you will look at my food. And as always happens, you will say, I should have got what you got, because you don't trust. You don't trust me, but you will eventually.
This excites me. You will. I love you, Jesse. Thanks for coming, bro.
By the way, as far as the Anti-Communist Manifesto goes, congratulations, all of you who have hounded me into the ground about an audiobook. Is there going to be an audiobook? An audiobook? Yes. Tomorrow, Chris and I are coming into the studio, and we are beginning. Apparently, it takes like 25 hours in total or something like that. But tomorrow, we are beginning to record the audio book version of the Anti-Communist Manifesto, obviously in my voice and everything else. So congratulations. I didn't want to do this, but I thought that I don't know that I'll ever write another book. I'm not an author. It's a subject I'm obviously passionate about. American communism. How do we combat it? What is it? How is the LGBTQ stuff? How's that communism? The history of all that, the ties, how do we fight it? It was something I'm passionate about. So that's why I wrote it. I figured if this is my only book ever, and it probably will be, might as well voice it for you in my own voice. So congrats. You can go order an audiobook version of it too at jessekellybook.com. Now, this is what I'm excited about. Before I get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, everyone hates riding on an elevator with other people. Everybody does. I do, you do, everyone does. It's better to be by yourself, all right? It's better to be by yourself. What if they start talking to you? It happened to me yesterday on a plane when I was flying back into town to do the show. I hate when dudes sit down when women are struggling to put bags in the overhead. I don't know why. I almost blow up. I can't stand it. If a woman is struggling to get her bag up there, you get off your butt and grab the bag and put it up there. Even my sons know this now. You get up and go put it up there. So this woman comes, and of course, I'm flying Southwest, so she says, can I sit there by you? And I said, yeah, that's fine, and I'm trying to read my book. I'm reading a book on the Romans right now. Anyway, can I sit there by you? Sure. And then she tries to put her bag up there, and she's a young woman, I'd say in her 20s, and her bag, of course, weighs 10,000 pounds. So I grab the bag because she can hardly get it off the ground. I stand up. I grab the bag. I put it in the overhead. I sit back down, open back up my book. And, of course, she thinks I was hitting on her, proceeds to try to talk to me when I'm reading for the next hour. Oh, I know, Chris. I know. Oh, Chris, the wedding ring? Pff, like they care about that at all. It doesn't matter. It's annoying. Anyway, so I forget where I was. Oh, yeah, my new technique, the elevator. You don't want to be talking to people when you're going up and down the elevator. You just want to be left alone. So I have for years been working on the appropriate way when you get on an elevator, unless it's some old woman or something, you're trying to hammer the door close button before anyone can get on with you. Here's what you do to ensure or give yourself the best shot at riding alone. You get on the elevator
And what you do, what you don't do is make eye contact with people walking up to the elevator, because then they know you've seen them. So whether you grab your phone or maybe you look down at your shirt and kind of brush it off. Oh, no, I got some chips on my shirt or something like that. You can see them out of your peripheral vision. You know they're coming up, but you don't want them to ride with you. So you just kind of ignore them until the doors start to close. At that point, because you don't want to be thought of as rude, then you look up while the doors are closing and you see them here and you give them the, oh, no, and you reach out for the button thing, trying to act like you're hitting the door open button, and you press right beside the button. They think you're trying to help. Oh, no, open. Oh, dang, we didn't get the doors open in time. Shoot, that sucks. So that's how you reach out. Then you get credit for being nice, but you also get to ride on the elevator by yourself. What, Chris? That's an important technique. Whatever. You don't know techniques. Shogun. This morning I was watching Maria Bartiromo on Fox. Her entire crew referred to Dylan Mulvaney as she. We all know said freak still has... Oh, I can't say that. And he's not a she. Oh, all right. Let's talk about this for a second. In major corporate America, it's very, very, very difficult to actually speak truth now, especially when it comes to cultural issues, because so much of corporate America and so much of the major capital and so much of the government, they're all dedicated to lies. They're all dedicated to telling you the sky is green at all times. So inevitably, even in, quote, right-wing areas, they will begin to yank people to the left. Just cede a little more ground. Oh, just call him whatever he wants. But no, no, we have to resist that. But look, Fox News has gone this way a lot. Remember they ran that, I think it was an infomercial basically, on some tranny kid. Some kid had been abused by his parents and doctors, and they ran some glowing thing about him. This happens a lot. It's going to keep happening a lot with the older weenie right. That's the bad news. The good news is this. You want to have some good news attached to that? Good news is this. I had a conversation yesterday with somebody who's deeply involved in the university system of the country. Only he's far, far right wing. And we were talking about how bad the university system is. And in case you're wondering, I probably undersell how bad it is. It's that bad. But he also told me, he said, Jesse, let me tell you something. There are right-wingers on campuses now, and they weather the storm every single day. They fight against the masses every single day. And these kids, if they survive that 4 years and emerge still thinking appropriately on the other side, these kids are forged in fire. They are hardened. I'm telling you right now, you think I'm just saying it to make you feel better. Man, we're in the beginning of the anti-communist stage. The beginning. It's not me. It's not my generation. People think I'm one of these guys. No, 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 no. It's the next generation. You kids listening to this show right now, 15 years old, 20 years old, 10 years old, you're the anti-communists who will lead us out. Because you're the one who's going to weather all this crap and come out the other side forged in fire. There is a better generation coming, and I'm excited about it. I am. Look, all kinds of fighting, all kinds of battles we still got to fight. There's a better generation coming. I'm also very, very excited that we don't go through paper towels two rolls a day now. And you know why we don't go through paper towels like that in the Kelly household? Because Fred doesn't have digestive issues anymore. My dog, Fred, had them after every single meal. And now that doesn't happen ever. Why? Well, it's not a miracle. It's Rough Greens. On top of the vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes, omega oils, Rough Greens has probiotics. And all this stuff is natural. Natural. Rough Greens is a supplement you pour on your dog's food. Your dog's food is dead. They kill everything in dog food, even good dog food, so it lasts longer on the shelf. Your dog maybe has never had nutrition. Think how crazy that is. You want your dog to live longer? Fewer vet bills? Better eyes, joints, stomach? Rough Greens, man. Free jumpstart trial bag right now. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Go get a free bag. Enjoy it. Look at what it does for your dog. Well, let your dog enjoy it. I wouldn't recommend it for you. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. More Ask Dr. Jesse next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Apparently, to continue working with Jewish producer Chris, we are going to have to relocate the show where pot is legal. It sounds like it, judging by his musical selections. You can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Dr. Jesse, I teach a wide range of grades, 3rd to 8th. Some of the younger kids, particularly in 3rd and 4th grade, have not dropped the habit of picking their nose and sometimes eating it, which makes me want to dry heave. Yes, we're all dry heaving right now. Thank you. On one hand, I believe I should be direct and address the behavior right then and there because I believe public humiliation and shame are the best ways to cure unwanted behavior. On the other hand, I know kids are vicious and may relentlessly pick on a child about this until the day they leave school and move on to another. What advice does the certified doctor with 2 PhDs from elite accredited universities have to give? Listen, thank you for ordering the Anti-Communist Manifesto at jessekellybook.com. What, Chris? He wrote it. I didn't say it. All right. Let's set aside the nose-picking thing and just deal with this in general. I know you're going to find this shocking. I'm very direct when it comes to my kids. Extremely direct. At the same time, I try to give them a chance before I embarrass them in front of their brother, in front of everyone else. And this is something I see people do a lot that I think is an amazing mistake. People will address friends, coworkers, acquaintances, students, family members, whoever. They will address them about something in front of other people first. It's a horrific mistake. A horrific mistake. Because you can embarrass somebody. You can create hard feelings in somebody that will last forever versus addressing it in private with them and helping them. And even if they get their feelings hurt, they will come out the other side. And because you didn't embarrass them in front of other people, you guys can heal and come back together and work together in the future. Look, I'll tell you personally, with my friends, especially when we have things like political disagreements, like my friends in the industry here and things like that, and we have political disagreements about this or that, they will text me. They'll text me privately, or we'll call each other privately, and we'll have arguments, strong disagreements. You're wrong. You're crazy. Shoot, we'll call each other names if it gets heated enough. You're an idiot. What are you talking about? And all that's fine, and it always works out fine in the end. However, if you are anything from an acquaintance to a friend to a family member of mine, and you come at me publicly, we are done forever. I will block your number in my phone. You will never speak to me again in any way for life. You know why? It's not just because I'm a spiteful person. It's because you know what that tells me? That tells me that our relationship, whatever it is, that you are more than willing to hurt it for clout and public approval. That's what it tells me. It tells me that it's not worth as much to you as it is to me, and therefore, you're cut off from me for life, forever. If I have a problem, a real genuine problem with Jewish producer Chris, and I never have because he busts his rear end, but if I have a real genuine problem with Jewish producer Chris, I wouldn't address it on the air. I wouldn't even address it in front of Michael. And same thing for Michael. If I had a problem with Michael, I wouldn't address it on the air. I wouldn't address it in front of Chris. We're going to talk privately, give him a chance to improve. Shoot, give him a chance to argue with me. But again, privately, you do that publicly. Now I've embarrassed you in front of other people, and you'll never forget that. You'll never forget that. So I would say the same thing applies to students. Like with my sons, I'll pull you aside and I'll try to keep things as quiet as possible. One of my sons had the hardest time. Had the hardest time chewing with his mouth open. He would chew his food with his mouth open. And we're big on trying to teach manners. We're certainly not the best parents in the world. And I don't come at him in front of everyone else about it. Sitting down at a big family dinner. Hey, chew with your mouth closed. I could. But if I do that, now I've embarrassed him and shamed him in front of anyone else. Maybe if I catch his eye, I'll kind of point towards his mouth. Hey, keep it down. Or maybe I'll pull him aside. But I don't do it in front of everyone else. People remember that, man. People remember that. And for some reason, there are some people out there, they simply cannot control themselves in public. And it blows me away. You see this on social media all the time. You see this with family on social media all the time. Brothers, sisters, parents, kids coming at their relatives in public. Keep that crap in-house. Keep your crap in-house, all right? So when it comes to kids, pull them aside. Tell them to stop eating his boogies. That's disgusting. You know what else is disgusting? That we've killed 60 million babies in this country. That's disgusting. But that's the bad part. The good part is, for a variety of reasons, those days are coming to an end. It's not just in red states where they're passing laws and things like that. That's important, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing, if we want to reduce the number of abortions that happen in this country, and I think even if you're not as pro-life as me, we all want to reduce the number, do we not? The most important thing is simply educating people on the truth. Because for so long, the system has lied to people. They've told them, a clump of cells, not a lie. It's just a clump of cells. It's nothing. It's just a little blob. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Well, because of advances in science and technology now, we obviously know that's a bunch of garbage. And the ultrasound is maybe the greatest pro-life tool out there. What preborn does is genius. They're taking these young women who are seeking out an abortion, who don't know the truth, clump of cells, it's nothing, and they're simply giving them a free ultrasound. She sits down, lays down, gets her ultrasound, hears that heartbeat, and she knows everything she's been told is a lie. And overwhelmingly, the vast majority of the time, you get her in there for an ultrasound, she chooses life. That's because it's from God. You hear that heartbeat as a mother. Now you're a mom. Now you got to protect it, provide for it. Preborn does it. Let's help them. $28 buys that ultrasound. Hey, maybe you're well off. $28,000 buys a lot of them. Whatever you can do, help them. Preborn.com/Jesse. All right. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. I got a bunch of emails yesterday about this little bit of audio from the Navy.
And I was able to deploy on the USS Gerald R. Ford last fall. And the coolest thing I did on board was to be able to participate in a LGBTQ spoken word night. And I was able to read a poem that I wrote to the whole ship. And that was probably the culmination of the whole deployment.
People want to know, why is this bad? Explain in detail why it's bad. They know it's bad, but why is this stuff bad for a military? Why? I'll explain in just a minute.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.